Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome to Focus Today. I'm your host, Perry Atkinson, and delighted to have with us today Vince Everett Ellison, the author of a new book called 25 Lies. Exposing the Democratic most dangerous lies. And there's a picture of the cover of the book on the screen there for those watching on the Dove Television Network. And Vince's website is vinceellison.com, vinceellison.com. And you can go there and check it out. That is his website. Vince, good to see you again. How are you, friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. How you doing, Perry? Good to see you also.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Fascinating book.
Thank you.
I enjoyed your other book, The Iron Triangle. I love talking to you about that. And then you come up with this one.
Yes.
You obviously been studying hard, man.
Yes.
Let me ask the kind of a beginning question. President Biden is wrapping up his first year. It's been an interesting year. What's your take? What's your analysis?
It's been a catastrophe. You know, they came in and they tried a soft coup. They had a 3-person majority in the House, had a tie in the Senate, and they decided to try to pass H.R. 1, which would put them in complete control of federal elections. They wanted to control the drawing of the districts. They wanted to have financing their campaigns. They wanted to put 4 more senators in the Senate by putting D.C. and Puerto Rico as states. And then they wanted to blow up the filibuster, and they wanted to pack the Supreme Court. And it all blew up in his face because the American people saw it. And I think his approval rating now is close to below 40%. So everything blew up in his face. Build Back Better blew up. H.R. 1 blew up. The Equality Act blew up, where they basically were going to make Christianity discriminatory. They're going to control churches and going to control synagogues and going to control private schools. You know, Joe Biden is who we said he was. He's a leftist. I think he's an anti-Christian bigot. And I can't wait until he's out in 2024.
Do you think, Vince, and I was trying to figure this out over the weekend. Do you think that possibly we could be witnessing, after 1 year, a presidency going into a lame duck status? And the reason I put that out there, I don't think his threat is Donald Trump holding a rally in Arizona. His threat is 25% of his own party can't figure out what he's for and against, and he's blowing up their agenda. And he's got the threat of all people of Hillary saying she would make a better candidate. I mean, he could already be a lame duck.
Yeah, he overpromised and underdelivered. And you never do that. That's always fatal to any politician. It's fatal in business. Joe Biden should have known from the start that he was going to have a problem with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. I mean, I knew it. And Perry, I'm sure you knew it. For him to come out and tell the American people he was going to do all these great things, understanding that he had to get a 60-vote, you know, majority, or either blow up the filibuster, understanding that these two senators would not do it, and probably more than that, they're just not saying it. The fact that he was going to explode the budget by trying to put $6 trillion worth of new spending into it with Build Back Better. What he did in Afghanistan when he left those people to die, had American soldiers killed there, 13 soldiers died. Now we have this massive inflation, something that didn't have to happen. I mean, when he closed down the Keystone Pipeline, when he started trying to destroy gasoline and it's destroying energy, flooding the whole system with money. You know, Biden is what we all believed he was. He's a walking, talking puppet of the left. And leftists don't think. They just react. They feel. They have emotion. And they don't understand economics. They don't understand industry. They don't understand business. They just say, hey, print more money. They just say, hey, give away stuff and everything will be fine. There's always a cost, and Biden is paying it now.
Today is Martin Luther King Day, as you well know, and critical race theory raises its ugly head across the country. How do we balance this?
In my book, I talk about the civil rights movement a lot, and I talk about the deification of Martin Luther King, and I'm torn with it because I believe a tree is known by the fruit it bears. when you look at the civil rights movement, you ask the question, what good has it done for Black America? And when you see that it has failed in every one of its stated goals, the family is weaker, 10 times more Black men in prison, Black economic system destroyed, the Black political system is destroyed, the Black church is just a wing of the Democratic Party, the Black educational system is the worst in the whole Western world. You have to start asking questions. What are we celebrating? The only thing that that can be celebrated is that you have more Black people that are voting for the Democratic Party that was oppressing them in the first place. And that is really some type of irony. The Democrat Party and their racism and their cheating and their repression of Black people necessitated the whole civil rights movement. And once Black people got a right to vote, they started voting 80% for that party that was basically oppressing them. So the Democrat Party came out very, very well in the civil rights movement. This very same party that was oppressing Black people came out with 80% of the Black vote. It's an amazing irony. And when you look at the Black community and you see how it's still suffering, when you look at it and you see how the schools are still terrible, when you look at it and you see how our communities are being destroyed, and when you look at Chicago, you look at Detroit, which was at one time the richest city in the world. Look, this is not conjecture. This is a fact. Detroit was the richest city in the world and didn't have to file bankruptcy. When you see how many people are being murdered and the uptick of violence inside the Black community, how Black men are killing one another, how whenever you put Black people in a proximity with each other, they kill each other on an industrial level. That we may have taught more white people to love us, but it taught us to hate ourselves. And because we have been taught to hate ourselves, we murder and kill one another and can't stand one another. It is a weird irony and weird dichotomy that these leftists on the left, they want to demand that we celebrate and bow to a movement that basically has done nothing but caused us harm. It's almost like asking the Cubans to celebrate the communist revolution in Cuba. It's done us no good whatsoever. Matter of fact, it's done us more harm than anything.
Wow. Two questions come out of that. One is what you might think the solution is, the antidote. But the other one is, there for a while, a phenomenon happened when so many people in the Black community voted for Donald Trump. He said, the other side lied to you. What do you got to lose for voting me? And they did it, and they got jobs. What's your take?
He's exactly right. There were many things that went wrong in the civil rights movement. The answer to your question is what saved us is Jesus Christ, period.
Amen.
There is no flaw in his teaching. I read this to my children almost every day at the beginning of our Bible when Cain and Abel got into it. And Cain was angry because God accepted Abel's offering and not his. And this is a grandfather talking to his son. And he made this statement to Cain. He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if not, sin waits at the door to master you, but you must master it. And that is the whole thing. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if not, sin waits at the door to master you. The civil rights movement was completely against that. They told us we must coerce our neighbor, that we must stalk them, that we must use the violence from the government to force them to comply to what we want. Instead of the Christian method of, if you don't want me to sit beside you and eat a hamburger with you in your restaurant, I'll open my restaurant and invite you over and feed you for free. That's how you win his heart. If you don't want my child to sit beside yours in a school, I'll build my own school, and my education will be better than yours, and you can bring your child to my school, and I'll educate him for free. If you're mean to me, I'll love you. If you curse me, I'll love you. No matter what you do to me, you cannot make me not love you. And here's the kicker also. Nonviolence was never a Christian virtue. Non-aggression is a Christian virtue. We know the story of Jesus going in that temple. When he told those guys, look, I told you now, don't be coming in here selling this stuff and doing this money changing. I told you once, don't let me catch you again. And when he caught him again, what did he do? He didn't even start a conversation. He got a whip and he ran him out. There's no virtue in a grown man allowing other men to come and beat his wife and rape his children. There's no virtue in me and you walking down the street and seeing a child getting abducted and say, well, we're Christians, we're nonviolent, we can't do nothing about it. No. There's no virtue, Perry, in you and I walking down the street at 12 at night and seeing a young woman grabbed and about to get raped, and because we're nonviolent, we don't go to her aid. Nonviolence is not a Christian virtue. Non-aggression is a Christian virtue. Believe me, you can get your butt whipped and still love the person, right? And still, you can whip somebody and still love them. My daddy did to me a lot. So when the person stops fighting, we stop fighting. And then we minister to them. But there is no virtue ever in allowing yourself to get beat down by a tyrant. And this is why so many young black people have left Christianity. They believe that lie, that Christianity means you lay down, you get beaten, you get assaulted, you get misused, you get mistreated. No, you cannot read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus allowed it until his time had come. And then he said, and when Pilate said, I have the right to take your life, he said, you have no power over me. I lay my life down. And when I'm ready, I pick it back up again. So if you want to think about Jesus Christ, he was a stone cold G. Nobody touched him till he allowed it. So all of this stuff about nonviolence, all of this stuff about stalking white America, all this stuff about using government for coercive legislation, the fact that black people still have to ask the government's permission and protection before they can vote is the evidence of the absolute failure of the civil rights movement. The fact that they are marching right now, demanding legislation so they can still vote. No other minority group in America does that. Not the Asians, not the Jews, not the Hispanics, not the people from India, nobody, not even the Native Africans. It is always black people because the left uses us as cannon fodder for their movement. I'm sorry, Perry, I went a little long there, but I got a little heated.
No, you preach it, I'll turn the pages. Okay, so Vince, going back to your earlier statement, the profound thing you said, the answer is Christ. We know that. Do you think, I hate to even put this into a category, but I must for the conversation. Do you think the black church sees an opportunity to reinsert itself and change lives?
You got so many young black preachers out there that see the folly of the past movement and how they've allowed politics to infuse the church. And it's really tragic. Andrew Breitbart has this statement that says, politics is downstream of culture. And it's a proper statement, but it seems like in the black community, politics, the culture is downstream of politics. We allowed the Democratic Party to go into our schools. We've allowed it to go into our churches. We allowed it to go into our civic organizations. We allowed it to go into our families and our homes and take complete control and demand that we act a certain way. And they are dictating every aspect of our lives, and they are destroying it. It is obvious. So you have a lot of young black ministers now that have left the old ministry alone, and they're out there trying to tell the truth. They're out there trying to start churches. They're out there trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, of course, because they're doing that, the media won't give them any attention. Now, if you want to get some attention, and I wrote this about Justice Smollett, if you want some attention, go out there and start complaining about how white men are beating you up, how you've been slapped around by white society, how white society has their foot on your neck, how white people are just cruel and da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, man, they'll put you on TV. They'll give you your own talk show. That's what they want to hear you do. They want to hear strong black men talk about how terrible it is to get beat down in America. They love it. That's their thing. See, that's why they don't put me on CNN, because they don't want to hear this. Now, if I was out there screaming about how low down and dirty white folks were in America and how I can't make it and how they are just racist and how I can't get a job and how they're beating me up, man, you'd see me on billboards all over America. But I don't believe that to be true. I understand in America, you got to grind every day. It is capitalism through and through. And you know, I was sitting there watching the football game between Georgia and the University of Alabama the other night. And it was interesting to see that each team had three captains. And each team chose three black captains to represent them. And Perry, you and I are old enough to remember when black people weren't allowed to even go to those schools. And now you have three black captains playing in the national championship game. Why? They earned it. They earned it.
Yeah.
No affirmative action program, no quota, no begging. They earned it. And a crowd of thousands of mostly white people cheering for them. See, that's America. If you do well, will you not be accepted?
Beautifully
and
said.
That is what we miss. We don't believe that, and I do.
Beautifully said, Vince. Let me take a quick break. What an honor to have back with us today, Vince Everett Ellison, the author of a new book. I want to get into this book a little bit, 25 Lies Exposing the Democrats' Most Dangerous Lies. We'll talk about that coming back. His website is vinceellison.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Okay, welcome back, and what an honor to have back with us, Vince Everett Ellison. His newest book is called 25 Lies, Exposing the Democrats' Most Dangerous Lies. His previous book, which is also a must-read, The Iron Triangle, Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race to Divide Christians and America. You may want to check both these out. His website is vinceellison.com, very resourceful, vinceellison.com, and check out his books. Well, Vince, given the two sermons that you just preached, it appears to me that America, on the other hand, is waking up to wokeness. We're saying no, no.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that there was a major turnover in Virginia was that the CRT theory was being pushed down a school district or being propagated by a school district, and the parents' voices was being pushed out the door, and the citizens said no. So something's happening. Are you encouraged a little bit?
Oh, very, very encouraged. I'm an optimistic person. You know, that's why I wrote this book, 25 Lies. See, Perry, the Democrats aren't after you and I. They know they're not going to get us. You and I are too old and too ornery. They're not going to get us. they're after our grandchildren. They're after our children. They're after the young folks. They're after our family members. They're after our good friends. You and I both know many people who are in the Democratic Party that are good people. And we've always wondered, what is the hypnotic trance this party has over you? Why can't you break away from it? That's why I wrote 25 Lies. The people do not know it, but they're being lied to. And this book, I could have called it 1,000 Lies, but I decided to take 25 of them. And one of the first one that I expose is the Democratic Party wants you to believe that you're not going to be held accountable by God for your vote. They want you to believe that, you know, if they tell you if you vote for us and we're going to use our power to abort children, to take little boys and castrate them, try to make girls out of them, to disarm law-abiding citizens in war zones, to repress the religious liberties of the American people, to allow fentanyl and drugs and whatnot to come over the border to kill our citizens, and to set up legal drug houses in places like Philadelphia and Manhattan, so people, they call them safe injection centers, so people can go in and use drugs legally. You know, they want to say, you're not going to be held accountable for that, that there's some type of severability between your vote and between what you and between you. And I write, no, that's not true. You're going to be held accountable for everything that you do and say unless you repent. And if you vote for this knowingly, it's just like if a guy comes to your house and says, hey, Vince, let me have your gun. I say, hey, man, what you going to do with it? I'm going to go across the street and kill John with it. I'm saying, you going to kill him? Yeah. Well, here's a gun. Go ahead and blow him up. Blow his head off. When the police find out that I gave you that gun knowing you were going to kill John, I'm an accessory. There's no way around that. And if you vote for these people knowing they're going to murder children, knowing they're going to force LGBTQ on Christian citizens that don't have nothing to do with it. Knowing they're going to disarm people, knowing that they're going to steal from their neighbor in order to buy votes. If you do that, you're going to be held accountable for it also. I talk about that. I also talk about the fact that the civil rights movement didn't have black people. I talk about the fact that LGBTQ is not about equality. I talk about the fact that all black men are not afraid. Talk about the lie that when they say that guns are bad. Talk about the lie that when they say that educational freedom is bad, educational slavery is good, and they want to fight against school choice. I put all of that in there, but I do it for one reason. It is to take folks like you and I and give them information so that we can help save the people on the left in the Democratic Party that they're controlling. Why? The Democrats are not the fallen. The Democratic leadership are not the fallen. They're trying to make people fall. They are the fallen. And they are putting stumbling blocks in the way of me and you and people like us so that we can't go and assist these people in getting away from them. This book helps us maneuver that. It helps us to tell these people what these lies are and how they've been manipulating them and lying to them for so long. And that's why I wrote 25 Lies.
All right, check it out, folks. Where can they get it, Vince?
You can go to Amazon.com. It's you can buy it right now. You can go to my website, and my website is VinceEEllison.com. Okay. VinceEEllison.com. Oh. Three E's in the middle.
And you can also go to
just online anywhere. It should be in bookstores very, very soon. It just dropped on January the 11th. So it's going to be in bookstores very, very soon, Barry. Please, people, please support this, because if there's any political person in the world that has a bullseye on his chest, and that is the black conservative, they understand that the black conservative is the most dangerous, dangerous person in America. And then the black Christian conservative doubles that. Christians believe in freedom. Jesus Christ said that he who believes in the Son is free indeed. He who the Son has freed is free indeed.
Yeah.
So we're free. And we speak about this freedom of Christ all over the world. And democracy came from this freedom. And the only way these socialists and these communists can take over here in America is that they must first destroy Christianity. And that is why they want it out of the schools. That's why they're attacking even the Christian schools now. That's why they want it off the airways. That's why they don't want you to even say the name of Jesus in politics or on television, because they know that when you start speaking the name of Jesus, all the demons must run.
Yep.
That's why I say it so often, Perry. I make them mad, man. They can't shut me up. So I speak his name in my book. I speak his name in public because I am truly blessed. Yes, there's not a more blessed man on the earth than Vince Everett Ellison. And I tell everybody that my blessings flow from Jesus Christ. And I tell this, and I write this book to tell everybody, Jesus turns it right back on you. When you say, well, they're mean to me, he says, love them. He never tells you to try to change a person. He says, change them by your actions. Change them by what you do. Let your light shine. Watch what you do. Don't worry about that person. See, when Martin Luther King said, I have a dream that one day my four little children won't be judged by the color of their skin. See, that pushes me the wrong way, Perry, because you and I both know ain't nothing wrong with the color of my skin, and there's nothing wrong with the color of your skin. But for you to look at me and not acknowledge I'm a black man, or for me to look at you and not say Perry's a white man, that's insanity. We know it. That's a game. The problem is, do you see injury in it? And I have no control over that. If you want to look at my skin and then you want to judge me by it, if you underestimate me, that's to my benefit. It's not to yours. Mm. Underestimate me at your peril. So I'm not concerned about how a racist views me. I'm concerned more about how I view myself and how God views me. I don't give him the power to determine how I see myself. And I'm not going to walk in a room every day in America and say, hey, y'all, don't judge me by the color of my skin. You only ask not to be judged by something that you're ashamed of. And I'm not ashamed of anything God gave me. I don't like that. I don't like. I heard a story about Martin Luther King Jr. when he was trying to integrate a hotel down in Tallahassee, Florida. This is in the book. And when the police came to arrest him, they asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "I want my dignity." See, I hate that story because it implies that another man can give me my dignity. My dignity was given to me by God. It is irrevocable, non-transferable, unsellable. You can't take it from me. It's mine. And for Martin Luther King to even suggest that a minimum wage, racist hotel clerk could take away the dignity of a Nobel Prize laureate, an Ivy League educated preacher, an American citizen, and a child of God insults me. But it instructed the rest of Black America that white America holds our dignity in their hands. And that's not true. When he said 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. That's not true. I was born free. God gave me my freedom. I don't go to government for my freedom. I dare them to try to take it from me. That's the way an American thinks. So this is why on this day, I'm glad that you have the guts to have such a conversation. Because until we set this type of thinking behind us, until we start understanding that our power comes from the authority of Jesus Christ and our freedom that he gave us, not from government, not from any marches, from him, through us, then our government, we won't be able to do anything.
Wow. Sermon number three. I only got about a minute and a half left, Vince. Do you think the heart and soul of America is redeemable?
Oh, yes. This time had to happen. It's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The left is cannibalizing itself, Barry. You and I are going to be fine. Our names are already written in the book of life. We know who we are. We know who we are. We know whose we are. And God is never, ever going to leave his children, just like you never leave yours. Now, your children can leave you, but you would never leave your children. And I'd never leave mine. So I'm not leaving God. He's not leaving me. And his children are redeemable. Always will be. Sometimes it's going to take people like you and I to try to scare people back into where they're supposed to be and confront these devils on the left who have all they do is meditate on blood. They tell young girls to kill their children. They tell young people there are no consequences for their actions. They tell them if you feel good, do it. They tell us we don't have a right to defend ourselves, our homes, or our children. They tell us we don't have a right to pray to our God whenever we want to. You know, they tell us they have a right to take our money from us and our families and give it away to whomever they choose. But every now and again, we get a little angry. We bow our backs and say, okay, that's enough. Just like we're doing now.
Yeah.
In 2022, it's going to be a bloodbath for them. In 2024, it's going to be more, and it's going to be a correction. And then you're going to see America, you're going to see the empire strikes back, and America is going to show you that they are redeemable.
Vince, you're a delight, friend. Thank you. Let me say to our viewers and listeners, check out his latest book, 25 Lies Exposing the Democrats' Most Dangerous Lies by Vince Everett Ellison. You can get that at Amazon. Check out his website, vinceellison.com. You can order it through there. And his previous book is also a must-read, The Iron Triangle Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race to Divide Christians and America. This is an amazing read as well. Vince, good to see you again, friend. Stay in the fight. Love you, bro. And have you back
on. Thank you for having me. Call me back anytime. I love you, brother. God bless you.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. And join us next Thursday and every Thursday to catch the latest episode. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.